Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
There it is.
Just never know.
But, yep.
I didn't know if I missed it.
Well, I am in a good mood because the Tigers just won their playoff series against the Guardians, and they are moving on to the next round, even though they have been terrible and don't deserve to. They played well today.
I don't know. Their first half of the season, they deserved it.
Yes.
Second half, not so much.
They completely fell apart like around 4th of July.
Yeah,
started to, yeah, and then it just went down.
Jay and I were at opening. Yeah, Jay and I were at opening day back in April, and they did look good. I actually, my sister had gone to Vegas, and I normally, she's like, I'll put a bet for you. And I never bet on sports because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, right?
Sure.
So I was like, the Tigers to win the World Series. And she's like,
you're still in.
Right. I if you had talked to me 48 hours ago, I'd about ready to like just shred that ticket. But
yeah. Yeah.
What's the payout? Do you know? Just curious.
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
I only put like $10, and I think it would be like maybe 150.
Oh, okay. So their odds weren't that crazy.
Back then, no.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, this is the High Five Podcast. Welcome back, where we break down a different topic every week and list our top five items within that topic. And this is a special episode because this is our 50th episode. We've made it to made it over the hill, so to speak, as a podcast. And so with this one, we thought it'd be fun to talk about what we talked about during the first episode when it was just me and Caleb, and we were kind of figuring out what we even wanted to do, what we even wanted this to look like, before we kind of really had a direction or a format. We just decided let's list our five favorite podcasts, because we are a podcast. And you know, when you decide to start a podcast, at least for me, it's like you might model it after podcasts that you listen to, ones that you do like, ones you don't like. You know, you say you're going to be like this and not like this or whatever. So we thought,
I'm curious. So what have you guys learned 49 episodes later about making a podcast?
Well, I mean, to be fair and honest, you know, my job is pretty easy. I just have to come up with a list. Yeah, I just have to come up with a list or come up with ideas and then talk for a little bit. And then Jay does all the hard work of editing and putting it out and doing all of that stuff. So I've learned that if you're going to do a podcast, get a partner who's really good at stuff and just, you know, fly underneath their wings. So that's what I've learned.
And you, Jay?
Yeah. This is my second podcast that I've gone this deep on. You know, we've been involved. Caleb, we kind of got involved with another friend of ours for maybe just a handful of episodes of a podcast, and it never really went anywhere. But I've had one other podcast which got pretty far. And it was just me. And I always wanted to get into a podcast with other people, not necessarily to share the load of work, but I really feel as though like
to expand the conversation because you're doing all the work.
Yeah. And you know, before mine was more interview based and it was more just like me being curious about people, but then like you start to run out of people that that are like super interesting or that I would think other people would want to hear their stories. And I'm not like super famous or anything, so I don't have the access to a lot of, you know, really super interesting people, at least, When I lived on the other side of the state, I felt that way. So I, yeah, to expand the conversation, I wanted to include other people. I wanted to include other co-hosts. I wanted to talk about whatever people wanted to talk about. I'll talk about anything. Like you give me a topic, I'll talk about it. So it was more for me like wanting to find a way to a hack to talk to other people and bring people into a conversation and just like create some unity. It's we don't aspire to be like famous or like a huge podcast or anything like that in my mind, but I just want to have a conversation and get closer to some people and share some ideas and opinions about some things and have some playful banter along the way. So that's what I've learned about this one, and I feel like we are well on that way. So
So thank you to all 12 of the people listening.
yeah, well, I was talking to our friend Denise actually yesterday at the bar, and we were talking about her trivia event that she was having, and just kind of talking about how you just never know if it's going to be 50 people that show up or 5 people that show up. And it's the same thing with
Right.
this. I can see some of the analytics. I really don't try to get into it too much because, like I said, I just want to have in-depth conversation. I don't care about the amount of people that are listening. But it's weird. Like we've had episodes that we've had 40 to 50 listeners, and we've had some episodes where you think it's going to be, oh, like a lot of people, and we'll get 10 listeners. And it's really, I think you're just catching people at different times, phases of the moon when they want to be listening to podcasts or looking for something to listen to. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there is an ebb and a flow to it somehow. I don't know how to explain it because, yeah, if you guys ever are interested in any of those analytics, I can show them to you. They're pretty interesting to look at sometimes. But
Well, I think
yep.
we should just tell all 12 people. So we are doing podcasts that we are currently listening to. I'd be curious to know if any of them were on your previous list 49 episodes ago. But I would think we should just jump into
Yeah.
what we're listening to or what we recommend.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to? I mean, I want to just quickly talk about like how I decided upon mine because I think the way we first listed them before was that I just went traditional podcasts, 1 through 5 traditional podcasts, the way that, if you listen to them forever, it had to be on like, you had to be able to get it on Apple Podcasts or you had to be able to get it on your cell phone in some way. But I've actually included a couple YouTube channels in mine because they're formatted in the way of a podcast. But a couple of these are specifically advantageous to have as video content because for reasons we will hear when I get to them. So that's one thing I've kind of branched off with mine is it's kind of in the format of a podcast where it's episodic. You can get it on your mobile device and there's a theme. There's a recurring theme, kind of like what we do here. We're listing our top 5 things. So that's kind of how I define my podcast. Does anybody have any other ways they want to talk about that, or should we just jump into it? Is that kind of how you guys listed them or came up with
No,
yours?
I mean for me it was like my top three or like three that I don't miss a single episode.
Yep.
And then my number four is just like a long standing one with a favorite episode that I will like re-listen to once a year, which you'll hear why. And then my number five is actually one that I think is just actually one of the finest examples of the genre. Like of the medium of like podcasting medium for reasons I'll explain, but so there, but no real categories. I mean, I'm kind of bounced all over the place, but my top three are definitely like the three that I most listen to either daily, twice a week, or once a week in the cases of how they come out.
Nice. Caleb, anything to add, or are you good?
Yep, no, mine very similar to you, Rob. Same kind of thing. One's, my top three are I listen to every time it comes out, and then the other ones I listen to more. I kind of curate it because they have a ton of them, and I don't necessarily want to listen to all of them, so I kind of pick and choose which ones I like, but I still enjoy them. But I do think it's interesting how podcasts, like you're saying, Jay, with the YouTube, it seems like a lot of even just your standard podcasts now have a YouTube option or a video option. My top, well, two of my four, well, maybe three of my four, I think maybe even four of them, I'm not sure, have videos that you can watch as well on YouTube, where you can watch the podcast or you can just listen to it. So.
Cool. Well, yeah, let's jump into it. Since this was my topic, I'll go first and then you guys can go after that. My number five is I'm just gonna start off with the name of it. It's called Ozzie and Keats.
All right, we continue. Ozzie and Keats rolls on, proudly brought to you by Bell Tire and Grand Valley State University, and we're happy to be joined by the pride of Texas A&M University, the head coach of the Lions, Dan Campbell. Let me start here. We were just talking about the music that we listen to. As you're driving to Allen Park in the morning, what are we listening to?
Well, there's a lot of different stuff. Metallica, Seeger, Led Zeppelin, Stapleton, Merle Haggard. I mean, I'm a little bit all over the map.
That's cool. And obviously dropping in Seeger, and you know how important he is to this town. And so are you to this town, or have become to this town. Are you aware of how much of a rock star you are perceived to be in Detroit? Come on.
Well, look, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and there's a lot of fans that were, they're very nice, and they come up and always say pretty kind words, and which is cool. I mean, it means a lot. So I know they appreciate it, and look, it beats the alternative, right? it beats the alternative. So anyway, no, it's cool, man. We love it here, and the fans are awesome, and you guys know, I mean, they love their sports around here, man. They love their sports teams, and it's a great sports town.
Yeah, it is. It's outstanding. The Red Wings, Lions. I mean, they're waiting for you guys. And I mean, how busy is this week for Dan Campbell leading up to the draft?
It's busy. The only one it's busier for than me is Brad Holmes, right? The general manager. So he's the one who's got to clean a lot of this up. Certainly I'm, we get together and we talk about players we like, what we see. We take input from the coaches, the personnel department, scouts, all of those area scouts. But he's the one who's got to decide, okay, wait, I just got the medical on this guy, the personal side of this, the background, the this and that. And so he's the one that's got to clean it up. And ultimately, that's a lot. That's a lot on him. And so I always say it's funny because during the season, that's my time. And when the season's up, then I tell him, tag, you're it. And it's his turn. So we're in his time right now. And he does an unbelievable job. He's got great vision. We're fortunate we see players very much alike and pretty much cut from the same cloth. So, but it's busy. This is another busy time. It really doesn't slow down until summer.
It's by former Red Wing goalie Chris Osgood and former Detroit kind of regional sports channel host John Keating. And John Keating is actually a personal friend of mine. We met at a Detroit Tigers event when Vivian was a small child, and we started talking, found out he has a family home out in Grand Haven. He actually spends a lot of time out there. He posts on social media out there, so it's not any secret that he has a place out there or anything. He's just a really cool guy. And so every time we went to Tigers games, I would stop at the booth and say hello to him. This past opening day was the last time that I got to say hi to him. So the format of the podcast is they have on different Detroit sports or Detroit sports adjacent characters. Jeff Daniels was on one of the first episodes. But the episode that I'm going to share, or that I just shared, I guess we could say that, is when they had on the Detroit Lions coach Dan Campbell. And so it talks about just, you know, it starts out with, you know, just making small talk with him, what kind of music he listens to on the way to work, just meeting him as a person, but then hearing some of his anecdotes about being the Detroit Lions head coach and what Detroit sports is and all that kind of stuff. And so it's kind of a cool, just local thing. I know him. I know all the, you know, he has different Detroit Red Wings, Detroit Pistons, Detroit, you know, sports athletes come on. And if it's someone that I want to know more about, I'll listen to it. I don't listen to every episode, but I try to listen to most of them. So that is my number five, Ozzy and Keats. So, nice. Yeah.
So they don't do like highlights of games or anything. It's just interviews. Is that right?
Nope. All interviews, just talking about big Detroit sports moments from their memories. And yeah, just kind of just meeting these people as people and hearing their stories, hearing, you know, their recollections of their time around the Detroit sports scene. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was my number five. Caleb, you want to go?
Yeah. So my number five is probably the newest podcast that I've gotten into of late. So I do quite a bit of driving for my job. By quite a bit of driving, I mean I basically live in my car. So I'm always trying to find new things to listen to and all that kind of stuff. And one that came up of late, and I've listened to several. I haven't listened to, I mean, I think they have like 82 episodes, so I'm quite a ways back. I think I've listened to five. And it's Lonely Island with Seth Meyers.
It's the Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast.
Rolling.
All right, we're fucking back, guys.
I'm going to pop off first. This is rare for me. Yorm, you're sitting up and clothed and looking like a normal great dude in your home.
Yeah. And Andy, I clothed myself.
Whoa.
Brother. Oh,
I wish I had an
applause. That's news to my music
ears. Takes a while to put on the underwear, but...
Oh, I was... Damn it, I was trying to hit the applause one.
You gave him a Debbie Downer.
You accidentally Debbie Downered him. Well, it was also accurate.
Yeah. It works.
I'm also enjoying that Yorm is sitting in front of his wall of trophies.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's a little show, buddy.
I didn't realize that.
Is that where your Zoom is set up for meetings right now?
Yeah, this is a new shelf, so I apologize for this. But this is also Mari's trophies, which are, there's a lot. I didn't get any Rotten Tomatoes certified fresh trophies, guys. None of that.
Gotcha.
That doesn't happen to me.
I didn't know you could get those.
Yeah, I would say it's the ugliest of the awards.
Whoa.
Is that something you need to like order, like the Peabody?
It might be.
You probably do have to order it.
It's kind of a fun podcast. I really like Lonely Island. I love their songs, their parody songs, all that kind of stuff. But not only do they talk about, you know, the songs that they wrote, but they also talk about just, you know, SNL things. They'll go over SNL skits that made them laugh, or, you know, behind the scenes SNL stories and all that kind of stuff. So it's more than just, you know, the Lonely Island, but that's
and Seth Meyers, right?
And it's Seth Meyers hosts it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a good, and, you know, sometimes they'll just have random celebrities popped on. I listened to one the other day where, I can't remember Seth Rogen. Apparently Keeve accidentally sent the invite to Seth Rogen.
So he just hopped on.
Yeah. So he just hopped on. He just hopped on the Zoom call and was talking with him, and it was pretty funny. So, yeah. So it's an interesting podcast. It's really low key. They just kind of shoot the shit for a little bit and then go over kind of what, you know, whatever song they're going to talk about in that episode or whatever. But I like to hear the behind the scenes stories of SNL, but also how they kind of made and wrote the songs and all that. So it's a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, I've only heard a few of the episodes. So it's always based on what they were doing, how they made a specific Lonely Island song, what was going on at SNL, because a lot of those came SNL.
Right, roughly. Right? I mean, they do some other ones too, like they did, you know, like a Q&A one, and they've had some other ones that aren't necessarily specific to the songs. All the ones that I've listened to have been specific, you know, songs and things like that. But I know they've done, you know, special episodes and other things like that. So
cool. Cool. Yeah. That's a good one. I don't listen to that one enough.
I actually have never heard of it. So,
Oh.
yeah. So I will be adding that to the list. Add that to the
Yeah.
list, as they say.
Cool. Rob, what's your number five?
So my number five is one that's actually an outlier for me, largely because I don't do true crime. But this is only 12 episodes, and it made its debut in 2015, and it is called Stranglers. And Stranglers is part of Investigative Discovery, you know, the Discovery Channel, that kind of thing. I listened to it while I was living in Boston, because at one point I was living on Charles Street in Beacon Hill, across the street from the final victim, Mary Sullivan. The show's title is plural, Stranglers, because it really suggests that there are two different people who are responsible for the murders that the media had attributed to the Boston Strangler. Jay, why don't we take a listen here at the clip, and I think you will see what we mean.
The first of the Boston Stranglers murders was Anna Schlessers.
Mrs. Schlessers, a retired seamstress, had been strangled manually. Then the belt from her housecoat had been twisted about her neck.
Her name was Edith Erga, and she was my grandmother.
Why is anyone going around murdering these elderly women?
My dearest Chuck, may this letter find the man I love well.
That type of change in victim, not only in race, but in age, would tell me we're not dealing with the same guy.
Patricia Jane Bissett.
I remember detecting the slightest bit of a tremble in his hands.
He said, "Son, I had the strangler."
Sort of heartbreaking at times. We get our foot in the door, so to speak, and the bottom falls out of our hot lead.
He went to the courthouse and found Salvo had been released a year early.
I told her I'd come up there to do some work in the apartment.
Bottomley's conduct of the interrogation of DeSalvo was very atypical.
I want to show the guy's insane. That's my defense.
I mean, even our word testimony comes from the etymological root for testicles.
Another madman is on the loose, this time in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
The night before DeSalvo was murdered, he made a phone call.
But I said, "Mom, at least they got the guy." And she looked up at me and she said, "No, Casey, I don't believe they ever did."
It was a bright fall day and the sun was shining. And there we were exhuming her to re-autopsy her.
It's an incredibly well-produced show. It has great use of archival audio, so you definitely get some of that Boston accent. And at one point, there's a little connection to Ypsilanti, Michigan. I remember riding the subway in Boston, and when they said that, I just remember kind of turning white, even though this is the murder like from 40, 50, 60 years ago. And in fact, if you have watched the Boston Strangler movie on Hulu with Keira Knightley, the very first scene of that movie opens in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I won't say much more, but again, I'm not somebody who does true crime, but when I heard this one 10 years ago, I really thought it was one of the finest produced podcasts I had ever listened to.
Nice. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually, when you sent the link over, I actually listened to the beginning. I was like, yeah, I could get into this. Yeah,
so you said there's production. 12 episodes?
Yeah, it's just 12 episodes.
Is that it? Okay.
One season. There's actually a really great part too, where there was this one woman who lived in an apartment in Boston University, and she meets Albert DeSalvo while he's doing his measuring man thing. And what Albert DeSalvo would do is be like, "You're pretty, you look like a model. Why don't I fit you?" He's not using measuring tape, he's using his hands and hands around the neck, right? He comes back to her a couple of times. She moves out of that apartment in BU, and then one of the very first victims in a second set of murders lived in that apartment. So so presumably Albert DeSalvo came back, and Adele Roof was the lady's name, and so she wasn't there, and so unfortunately Patricia Bissett opened the door. But it's interesting because there's new stories that kind of come out from that, where the host Portland Helmick uncovers that, and at one point they actually go back to the apartment near Boston University, and they discover the door is unlocked, and they walk through the apartment. So I'm like, oh gosh, we're hearing a crime actually being committed on audio, and they like left a note for the two girls living there to be like, you need to know what happened here and keep your doors locked
and lock your door.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So again, Stranglers. You can find it on Apple Podcast and on Spotify. It's an excellent, excellent true crime that very few people talk about.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a good one. All right. My number four is Mammoth Club.
It's the 2025 Walt Disney World Lightning Lane Guide. Hello, ma'am, fam. Today we are in Walt Disney World, so I can give you my best tips, tricks, and all the things you need to know about the most
and
confusing
so
part
Mammoth
of a
Club
Walt Disney World
is,
vacation,
I think...
Lightning Lanes. Professor Molly will be going over the basics and fundamentals updated with all the things we have learned over the last 6 months since the system debuted. And then we're going to kick it back to me, Park Molly, who's clearly in the Magic Kingdom right now, but we're going to do some hopping as well to show you how to best use the system in real time. And I'll show you my screen as I'm booking things and going throughout my day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get those pencils ready and let's hop. I was trying to make a hop joke, but this isn't really about park hopping. So I was gonna be like, let's hop to it, like such a good pun, but I guess it's about lightning lanes. So like, let's strike now. To Professor Molly.
And so Mammoth Club is, I think you can get it as a traditional podcast, or maybe they put out some episodes traditionally like that, but it's a YouTube channel. And so... it is run by three people, Molly, Alan, and Max. And they focus on the Disney parks, but then they also do general travel tips where they go to mostly Disney places, but they'll go on cruises. They'll go to non-Disney places. They go to Universal Studios and other non-Disney parks and things like that. And it's all about tips. It's all about using technology to your advantage, taking advantage of lightning lanes and fast passes at Disney World, getting the right times and, you know, just all the little ins and outs and all the hacks. This YouTube channel is the reason why we go to Disney as much as we do. We would not go if we had to stand in all the lines that most people stand in. We like to cheat the system and watching this podcast on YouTube is really the best that we've found. And
one specific park, or do they kind of cover all the parks around the
all
world?
The parks.
And, yeah,
all
okay.
They are based in Florida. So that's where most of their content is, but they have been to Tokyo. They've been to Disneyland, Paris. They've been to Disneyland in California. They've been on the Disney cruises. So they really have branched out a lot as the channel has gotten bigger and bigger. I think, you know, they're probably getting money from this in some way, you know, through monetization on YouTube. But yeah, this is our number four. Molly, the main person on the channel, is a former cast member at Disney World in Florida. Mm. And so that's where a lot of her expertise started, but she just kept going from there. And she was part of a bigger YouTube channel called allears.net or something like that. Then she had such a big following on her own that she branched off and just started doing her own thing with her husband and friend. So Alan is her husband and Max is their friend. And so they jump around the parks and give us their tips. And Caleb, when we brought you, everything we learned from Molly. So,
yep,
that's our number four, Mammoth Club. So,
and we have taken and run with it, right?
Yeah, we have. Oh, cool.
Nice.
Caleb, what's your number four?
So my number four, again, is another one that I kind of pick and choose the episodes. I don't listen to all of them, but, you know, if I'm done with all my other podcasts and need something else to listen to, this is, right there on my list to listen to. And it is Where Everybody Knows Your Name with
That's
Ted
a good
Danson.
One.
Welcome back to Where Everybody Knows Your Name.
I am really looking forward to catching up with an old friend today, Howie Mandel. We travel in different circles, so to be able to spend an hour, hour and a half with him today, I'm very excited. We go way back. We co-starred in a movie called A Fine Mess in the 80s. Unfortunate title. You know Howie as the voice of Gizmo in Gremlins, his animated show Bobby's World, and as the host of Deal or No Deal. He's been a judge on America's Got Talent since 2010. He's a massively successful stand-up comedian, businessman, a tech mogul, an executive producer, and the list goes on. He is an off-the-wall kind of personality, but one of the kindest, wisest, biggest-hearted people I know. I can't wait to talk to him. His podcast with his daughter, Jacqueline Schultz, is called Howie Mandel Does Stuff. I was recently a guest and had a great time. Anyway, here is Howie Mandel.
The reason I'm late is I was in the car talking to my doctor, who wants me to go get more scans. I'm good, though, but just like everything, you're just busy with your body. I wasn't busy.
Full body scans?
I'm not getting a full body scan. It was a heart scan. Yeah. You know, I have AFib and I've had ablations. Is this a good start to to a podcast?
Yeah. Ted Danson and sometimes Woody Harrelson. And really, I don't even know why this. I think Woody's been on like maybe two.
He's been on a few, but you're right. Like,
he's never on.
Kind of a running joke.
I'm convinced that he's like high and he's just didn't show up to work that day.
And missed it again.
Yeah. It's I really like the show. Ted Danson has really good stars on, and I love to kind of hear the behind the scenes, you know, making stories and movies and, you know, learning about these people's histories and families and all that kind of stuff. And he does a good job interviewing them. It's kind of light and fun. It's nothing, you know, too like hard hitting or anything. It's just an easy listen and fun. And I like to, you know, like I said, I usually kind of pick who I want to listen to. If it's somebody that doesn't seem that interesting, I usually will skip that episode or whatever. But it's nice because there's a lot of them and they come out every week, so it definitely can entertain me. And they're about usually about an hour plus long, so they're usually pretty long, which is nice too. So
this is one
where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, where everybody knows your name. Yeah, that's one where I do the same thing, Caleb. I kind of pop in and out. And I will say two episodes that I do think are worth listening to if you did like Cheers. George Wendt talked to both Ted and Woody. And then Kelsey Grammer talked to Ted and Woody. And, you know, most people don't know, but Kelsey Grammer didn't get along necessarily with Ted Danson toward the end of Cheers or mostly through it. And they kind of talk about that. They actually address it in that episode. Mm-hmm. So Where Everybody Knows Your Name is pretty good. Ted Danson, I will have to say, I actually think he's probably like one of the underrated TV people, like TV actors, right? I mean, he was great in Cheers, of course, which is a show I love. Living in Boston, I lived right around the corner from the original Cheers, but also, The Good Place is incredible.
The Good Place.
I actually really liked he did that two-part episode with his wife, Mary Steenburgen. I thought that was really good. I didn't know that much about her story and history and stuff, so I kind of really liked that, or even their relationship and stuff. So it was I really liked that one a lot. So
cool. All right, Rob, what's yours?
Caleb, my number four is a show that I will occasionally catch. It is a podcast, but it actually is really known for being on radio. And the reason why I only kind of pop in and out is because next month will be its 30th anniversary since This American Life had been airing on WBEZ in Chicago and across public radio stations all over the country. I love This American Life. I love Ira Glass. I love a lot of the different voices that it came in and out of it. It was This American Life's production team that launched the podcast boom with Serial, right? So, you know, all those days of MailChimp, Blue Apron, Casper mattresses, that all came because of the popularity of Serial and This American Life. Now, the one I picked is actually a 19-year-old episode from October 2006. Called And the Call Was Coming from the Basement. This is the one that I sent to Jay. What I would say to anybody is go to the This American Life website, because you might have to be a subscriber on like the Apple Podcast and a few other places. But the total story is only 6 minutes long, and it serves.
So
as
this
the
is the prologue.
It's the prologue. Yes, it's 6 minutes long, okay. And it serves as the episode's intro. So Jay, why don't you go ahead and play it for the folks?
Well, I hold in my hand a ghost story that comes from a publication that is not really known for its tales of the supernatural. I'm talking about the American Journal of Ophthalmology, a medical journal. This is from a 1921 edition. In just in case your subscription lapsed during World War I, I'm just going to read from one of these articles. This is a letter that a doctor sent in. It's from one of his patients, actually, this letter. She's identified as Mrs. H. And in the letter, she's describing a very strange series of events that happened to her and her family, starting when they moved into a rambling old house on November 15th, 1921. This house was out of repair, had no electricity, was lit by gas lights, a very gloomy house. Albert Dene is the person who unearthed this article, and he agreed to come into the studio and read from Mrs. H's account of what happened to them.
Mr. H and I had not been in the house more than a couple of days when we felt very depressed. The house was overpoweringly quiet. The servants walked about on thickly carpeted floors so quietly that I could not even hear them at their work.
I love how no story of this era can be complete without servants padding about.
And they had many servants. One morning, I heard footsteps in the room over my head. I hurried up the stairs. To my surprise, the room was empty. I passed into the next room and then into all the rooms on that floor and then to the floor above to find that I was the only person in that part of the house.
And it is probably my favorite ghost story ever. I'm not going to say much more. I've cut it off so that you guys will check it out for yourselves for this Halloween. But I absolutely, absolutely love this ghost story. And it is one that I pretty much will actually tell as if it was my own damn story.
Cool. I love This American Life. In fact, I got into it as a podcast. I never even knew it was on the radio until later. I mean, they talk about it on the show that it's a radio show, but I never really heard it on the radio. I always just listened to it as a podcast.
Well, and even before podcast became a thing, it had two seasons on Showtime as a TV show.
I didn't know that.
It really, like, they tried to bring the This American Life radio aesthetic to how you do visuals. I suspect it was very expensive. I suspect it probably didn't kind of light the house on fire, so to speak, in terms of ratings, but it, and I'm sure it was probably exhausting to try to maintain both. So I think that's probably why they just decided to stick with audio only. But This American Life is just an absolute classic for 30 years. And it's definitely a reason why people should support their local public radio stations.
Yep. True.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So we're on to our number threes. My number three is Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. So Matt Rogers is a kind of a comedic singer, would you say?
He didn't make it on Broadway, but he made something out of himself.
Yes, and he's very well known for his Christmas albums. That's how he got into our, knowledge base around here at our house. And then also Bowen Yang is the obviously immensely talented SNL cast member. He is probably my favorite cast member right now. He's so funny. And them together, they've been podcasting since they were in college together at NYU, which I didn't even know.
Wow,
I didn't know they even knew each other. And so this podcast has been going on since 2016. And they just have on different people. Some of my favorite ones, including the one that I'm going to share coming up here, is when they had on Chappell Roan. Which we are going to see this weekend, and we're excited. So that's my clip.
So I can't wait to see how this episode turns out.
Anyway.
Because this actually is a huge moment in history, because I can't believe this is true, but I think I actually have two things on record on this podcast.
Yeah.
One was there's an episode where I literally go to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo?
And I was like, who's
and
that?
And you go, what is that? This is when it first came out, that's on record. And I believe me bringing up Chapel to you is on record on this podcast.
That is also on record on this podcast as well. It's on record for a lot of people who listened to you and they were like, I'm going to check this girl out.
It was late 2022 when I first sort of heard
saw her
about,
live.
But then, no, but then it was
the Fonda.
It was April 2023, I think you were at the Fonda. And I remember it was a special evening because you could feel the energy. And I remember she sang Pink Pony Club and then she was saying, the Pink Pony Club is here. And I was like, oh, wow, it really feels like it is here. Like the LA show, it's about LA, et cetera. That was a really special night. And I left that being like, she's one of the ones. And now she's here.
She's a Pisces legend. She's a Grammy winner. Everyone welcome.
Chapel Roan!
Wow.
Hey.
Thank you.
You won album of the year at our Culture Awards before your album was even out. And I've always wanted to ask you how you felt about that. Was it pressure?
I was laughing really, really hard. I was like, that makes sense. It was like, that is so funny.
I'm dumb.
It's so silly.
It was earned. I remember the song that changed everything for me. I was like, wait, what the fuck was Casual? Do a lot of people say that?
I didn't expect that. Literally, Casual was the biggest bitch to get done.
Really?
Mm.
And then another really good episode was when they had Lady Gaga on right before her new album came out. And love Lady Gaga, and they adore her as well. But just the stuff they talk about, they're so well connected and they're so funny. They know, they always have somebody interesting on, but they also have just really unique and funny points of view when it comes to culture and current events. And so this is one I don't necessarily listen to every episode. It's really depending on what they're talking about or who they're talking to. But I always am checking out what they're talking about and love these guys. So that for those reasons, they are my number three. Las Culturistas. Las Culturistas.
I got to add that to my list. All I hear is good things about it, and I haven't actually listened to any of them, so I need to.
It's pretty great. I mean, that's one that I don't necessarily subscribe to, but I kind of pop in and out of depending on the person they're talking to. But and they definitely, you can see that friendship carries over into their conversations and interviews.
Yeah, and I had no idea that it had been going on for that long. Only heard about it last, couple of years or whatever. Yeah. So all right.
Caleb.
So my number three. Yep. My number three is another one of the new ones that has slowly made its way up on my list. It's number three. I really enjoy it. It's kind of they do something kind of unique in this show. And it is Good Hang with Amy Poehler.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Good Hang. Oh, this is a good one. We have comedy legend, Kristen Wiig. You may know Kristen from SNL, from Bridesmaids, from Barb and Star, from Palm Royale. But we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. We're going to talk about working together on a show at the same time. We're going to talk about Carol Burnett and how much we love Carol and everything she does. We're going to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and why I should start watching it immediately. And we're going to talk about her new movie, Gabby's Dollhouse. So that's out, and we're going to get into all of that good stuff. But we always like to start our shows with someone that knows our guest and can speak well of our guest behind their back and can give me a question to ask our guests. And we have another celeb. I mean, another comedy great. Another former SNL cast member who I had the privilege to share the stage with, and that is Bill Hader. You all know Bill Hader. Barry, SNL, what I need to say, you know Bill. Bill, can you hear me? I'm going to get my cans on.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm Zooming you from the studio, and Wiig is coming in today. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I hope I can get you in the stewed.
Oh, man, I'd love to.
How's life?
Life's good. We're just writing, just writing, the girl, Hannah's, 16, Harper's 13.
Wow.
Haley's 11.
Yeah, they're great kids.
Yeah, just very sweet kids. So very, very, very lucky. I mean, they play a lot of jokes. My 13-year-old yesterday scared the shit out of me. She sent me I was in bed reading, and she sent me a text, and I looked at it, and it was a picture from underneath my bed. And I go, and I hear under my bed. I was like, fuck, she was underneath my bed. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And she just was dying laughing. She was like, oh my God, all right, good night, good night. just scared me. It was so creepy. I was like, why'd you do that? She was like, I don't know. Just hid under my bed.
Because she's your child.
Yeah, my child. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Wig. And, you know, I'm getting ready for this interview today with her. And it's like, I don't even know where to start with Kristen. She's so good, so talented. She's done so many things during SNL, after SNL. Like, she's had this incredible career on her own terms always. I mean, you two have done so much incredible work together on the show and in Skeleton Twins, which is just beautiful work from the both of you. And I guess, how would you describe Kristen as a, you know, as a friend and a performer?
You know, Andy and I had started the show. Jason was already kind of, but we were all kind of in the same, we were freshmen all at the same time. And then Kristen came in like 3 shows later. So I remember going into her office and we were writing a Vincent Price sketch. And I was kind of like, I've been here for 3 weeks. So, hey, newbie.
I know where the bathrooms are.
I know where the bathrooms are. I know you have to change elevators at this floor.
So again, she started this, I think, beginning of this year-ish. So it hasn't been out terribly long. I've listened to every episode. I've really enjoyed every episode. This is one that I will listen to even if I don't really know anything about the person she's interviewing. I just kind of like the way she does it. They always just make me laugh. But what they do that I always thought was kind of interesting is before they have the whoever they're talking to that day, they do what they call talk good behind their back.
Oh,
so
yeah,
she'll bring on other celebrities or other people that know that person to just kind of talk about that person. And then, you know, they'll have them ask, you know, what question would you like me to ask that, you know, whoever she's interviewing. So it's kind of an interesting different take. So you get, you know, not only do you get the main interview with whoever the main person is, but then there's kind of this short, you know, 5-10 minute conversation with some other celebrities. I know, you know, one of the big things that kind of took off when she started the show was on her first episode when she was talking. I don't remember who she was talking to, but anyways, the pre conversation was with Seth Meyer and now I can't think of her name from SNL, Rachel Dratch. And it, you know, that's kind of the one.
It was probably like Tina Fey or something.
It might have been, I can't remember, but it was anyway. So there was the viral moment was, you know, Rachel Dratch is like just falling apart on the podcast. She finally gets on and like her headphones are all tangled up, and then the doorbell rings and her food's getting delivered and her dogs are barking. So it's like I said, it's super kind of low key. It's a fun podcast. It's really funny. I think Amy does a good job. She definitely, you know, I don't know if she does a ton of research, but she definitely, I think the way she asks questions, she always has a lot of female actresses. Well, I guess though, it's kind of a double. but anyway, so she has a lot of women on, and they talk about like female friendship and what that means to each of them. And so it's just a different kind of conversation than you hear from, you know, your male dominated podcast, which is, you know, most of what I listen to. So yeah, I really like it. It's a great podcast. It's one I've listened to every episode. So.
Great one. Yeah. She's quick on her feet. She's a really good interviewer I mean, we all know this about her. So it's no surprise. She could talk to anybody and make it fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, what's your number three?
All right. So my number three is one that began as a YouTube channel, like you kind of talked about earlier, Jay, but they definitely have the audio on it. I'm hesitant to almost share this because sometimes it is worth watching the YouTube channel just for the facial reaction. And sure. It is called I Never Liked You. I Never Liked You is hosted by comedian Matteo Lane and his friend slash frenemy, Nick Smith. They tease each other just like the Golden Girls. They discuss one topic weekly. This is an episode where they're going to be talking about gay icons and Judy Garland. And you realize that Nick Smith doesn't know the dates of major historical events. Let's take a listen.
So 1939 is when The Wizard of Oz was made.
What?
1939.
We're almost at its 100. Is that crazy?
So 1939. So when, see when the first.
The Wicked Witch of the West is a gay icon. Now, come on now.
When do you think World War II was? Give me a year, because it was like...
Was it before or after that?
Why don't you tell us?
It had to have been before. You mean to tell me they made The Wizard of Oz and the world's decided to still go to war? No, it was before that.
Yeah, so that is Nick Smith not knowing exactly when World War II happened. This moment actually kind of went viral to the point where Lizzo basically held up Nick Smith as the face of non-education in this country.
Ignorance. Yeah.
Matteo Lane, as you've seen, he's had a lot of different specials on Hulu and things over the years. He seemed to be getting bigger and bigger with his career. Even today, they were reading negative comments that people leave about them. Hmm. And they ask, and I think this is the best insult I've ever heard, what lead poison town did Nick Smith come from? And you, like, this is worth watching on a YouTube channel because they are just like, they're busting up laughing. It's like dead air to listen to audio because they are laughing so hard. And Nick's like, and my dad's the mayor of that town.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So that's my number three. I Never Liked You.
Cool. All right, so that's our number threes. Moving on to our number twos. My number two is an Apple exclusive podcast, and it's Time Crisis with Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend.
Time Crisis, back again. What's up? How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Had a hectic night. Just put my daughter down to sleep like 2 minutes ago.
Whoa.
I had some friends over. I kicked them out of the house. I put Lizzie down. And I was like, I got a tape tonight. I'm working, guys.
Yeah, maybe people will be able to tell there's kind of a late night vibe tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You got a glass of whiskey?
Mm-hmm. I do. When we talked to John Fogerty, I had an iced tea.
Right. Extremely different energy. Two different kinds of plant medicine. I'm in a hotel room in New Orleans.
What's going on there?
Vampire Weekend's playing a show. Vampire Weekend has played a show. By the time the audience hears this. Yeah, I'm on tour. It's kind of like the last like significant touring, I think, of the year of the Ogwow era. A few more like spaced out shows coming up in November.
Was this like a venue with you guys headlining, or was it part of a festival, or what was it?
This is a venue that we're headlining. The past couple weeks have been a mix of like headline shows and festivals. We played Shaky Knees Festival in Atlanta. Got to watch Weird Al side stage for my second time seeing him live. And then Blink-182 headlined, brought the house down. Truly, when they closed with What's My Age Again into All the Small Things into Damn It. It was like pandemonium. The energy was bananas. Fireworks went off. Crushed it.
So they're like Oasis. They like save all their most famous songs for the last 3-4 songs.
I mean, their catalog is strong enough that they like open up with a rock show, First Date. You might not know it go as deep as me. So it's pretty high energy throughout. But then, yes, they save the absolute like songs that everybody knows. For the very end.
The very end.
And then, interestingly, that was on Sunday. And then the next day, me and the boys flew to Baltimore for Monday Night Football. where the Baltimore Ravens marching band performed an instrumental version of All the Small Things.
Wow. Oh my God. I wouldn't even recognize that. All the
small things. So he is on this with a couple. They've got kind of a reoccurring list of co-hosts. One of them is Jake Longstreth, who is a musician, artist. I think he's either he or his brother is in the band Dirty Projectors, which is a semi-popular band. But it's mostly Ezra Koenig. Ezra Koenig is famously married to Rashida Jones. And so he's got a lot of musical connections, being Quincy Jones's son-in-law. And just the interesting thing about this show to me is it's a bunch of 40-ish year old guys just sitting around talking about music and culture, and just kind of a lot of just inside jokes talking about what they're doing this weekend, about how little Ezra Koenig knows about sports, and teasing each other. And it's just a group of guys just getting together, taking jabs at each other, listening to the top five on iTunes because it's an Apple Music podcast. They have access to music. And so they'll listen to the top five on iTunes and comment on, I've never heard that song before, or wow, that's a really good song, or that's terrible. And like they go in all different directions. And it's been going since 2015 as well. It's a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one to get, on your device because it's only on Apple Music. This is also one I don't always hear because it's not in my podcast app. So I kind of forget about it, and it comes out every 2 weeks. So it's not like a super reoccurring one. And sometimes they go on long summer breaks or long Christmas breaks, and you're like, are they canceled? Are they ever coming back? And then all of a sudden, like two episodes show up. So it's not very reoccurring. And so that's why I don't listen to it as much as I probably would, because I forget about it or I don't see it. But I always love it. I always go back to it. And this is one that Katie and Vivian will actually listen to with me because they're funny. And they always talk about pop culture. They talk about, you know, what the kids' slang is this week, or, you know, and so Vivian knows about all that stuff. And so she laughs at them, and it's just a good show. Love Vampire Weekend. They're one of my favorite bands. And so I love Ezra Koenig, and just a good podcast. Time Crisis.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will say you can listen to it in the podcast app.
You can, but you have to be a subscriber. You have to be an Apple.
Sure. Yeah. An Apple Music subscriber. Yep. I presume that you are, but
yes. Yep. Yeah. Like if you found it in the podcast app, you would have to become a subscriber to be able to download it in the podcast app. But the reason I listen to it in Apple Music is because the sound quality is better. So when you're listening to like them go through the top five, it's all in lossless audio, like it would be on Apple Music instead of on the podcast app where it's a trimmed down quality. So that's why I listen to it there. So, and actually it's only in the last year that they've become available in the podcast app. But yeah, that's my number two.
Okay.
Caleb.
Yeah, my number three is another Team Coco podcast, and it is the main Team Coco podcast, and it is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Hi, my name is Andy Richter. And I feel resentful that it took me to be on Dancing with the Stars for Conan O'Brien to remember that I'm his friend.
Oh, and I'm not offended at all that there's a hitch in your voice after Conan because you were searching for my last name.
Right.
After we've known each other since the summer of 1993. After Conan. O'Connell.
Yeah, it's just because it's just an Irish thing.
I understand.
They all look alike.
So this actually, they come out with two episodes a week. on Mondays and Thursdays. So Monday is always, you know, like a famous celebrity, you know, person, comedian, whoever, you know, whatever. And then on Thursdays, usually it's like a 30, 40 minute podcast with a random fan of theirs. You can go online and, you know, fill out a form to become a fan and interview Conan. Well, you don't interview Conan, but you just kind of talk to him. But I really like it. Conan has always been one of my favorites. So this podcast has been out since 2018, basically ever since he got off the television airwaves. He started the podcast, and I don't know, there's what, says there's like over 500 episodes between the main episodes and the fan episodes. So, yeah, he's done. I mean, I've listened to not all of them, but a lot of them. And I listen to it every week. You know, he's got his former executive assistant, Sonia Mosefcian, and Matt Gourley, who's the producer. They're always on the podcast with him during the interviews. And I love the way he interviews people. It's just casual conversation. You know, he kind of has a couple questions prepared, but it just kind of goes off the rail pretty quickly a lot of times. I think it's fun to hear comedians come on and talk about, you know, how Conan's impacted them and all that kind of stuff. So, and then, you know, they always seem to talk about, you know, Conan's history with SNL or Seinfeld, or not Seinfeld, Simpsons. I really enjoy it. And I think the fan episodes are fun too. He just kind of messes with the fans a lot, but it's cool that, you know, he takes that time to just talk to really anyone. It's pretty interesting. So it's one of my favorites for sure.
Do you think you're supposedly maybe that you like listen or that you're paying attention to him more because he's on a podcast as opposed to if he still had a late night show on the daily?
Yeah, I would. I like the podcast format better because, like, and he even says it, he's like, I don't have an agenda. People come on and promote stuff, but he's like, that's not the reason you're on. You're on because I just want to talk to you.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So I think it's just looser. He can ask any question he wants to.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, in my opinion, as far as like interview style and even, you know, the amount of laughs I get, I think I laugh more at this than I did, you know, Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
His personality fits this way better than the Tonight Show.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I the reason why I mentioned this is actually because that my number one show kind of talked about things like this. And last couple of weeks when they've been talking about like Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel, and look, frankly, late night TV has been dying anyways. The advantage that you have with Conan O'Brien is that you can listen to this at the time of your choosing as opposed to staying up late at night. But realistically, I bet you Conan O'Brien is probably making more money and spending less money to produce the podcast than which would be if you had 200 people or so working behind the scenes to put on the TV show. And so when people talked about like Kimmel and Colbert and what they would be doing next, it does seem like Ted Danson, like Conan O'Brien, and like so many others, that the podcast is really going to be where people are going to find much better value, both as a consumer of the content, but also for them to be producing the content. Because there's going to be less cost for them and probably better ratings.
Well, and I mean, you know, like, you know, late night, you have what, maybe 10 minutes with a guest. I mean, he's got, 45 minutes to an hour. So
as much as
they can
wants,
get
really.
Into, yeah, they yeah. can really get into, you know, some interesting conversations. So the last one I listened to, or this last week, was Werner Herzog. Really good interview. Really, I mean, just again, I laughed a lot, but they also hit on some serious subjects and conversations, and it was a great episode. So,
and I think this is one of those things too where like the podcasting medium, and I probably should have mentioned this at the top of the show, but like when you have people doing audio and it's right in your ear, it is much more intimate than when you're watching. In many ways, there's a film, like a media theorist who talk about mediums like TV and film and radio, and in many ways, theater is like podcasting, right? Because you're in a dark room and you're just more or less you're listening to people talk, right? That's a lot of what theater is, because the scenery is not changing and what have you, right? Or sometimes it can, but by and large, you're just listening to people for a very compelling reason for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And podcast and audio in particular, it really engages your brain more because you're not seeing something. And so you're listening along and these people are right in your ear. And like I said, very intimate. And your imagination is filling in some of the
gaps.
You're
forced to visualize. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Conan is like the ultimate too, is at this. Like he is the perfect one. He is the ultimate person, like committing to a bit and sure. just like he is just so bombastic and just the way he treats Sona and Matt Gourley as like his subordinates and like how they're just disgruntled, like that whole thing. Like he's just, it's just the perfect setup. That it's a great show. And I think the only reason I don't listen as much as I probably should is because it is so much. I'm a completionist, or at least I try to be. And so when I listen to something, I have to either go all in or nothing at all. And so I find myself not listening to his because I'm trying to keep up with the ones that I am completing and keeping up with. So, but yeah, love Conan. Always checking in with him. So cool. Rob, what's your number two?
All right. Well, my number two is another Apple exclusive. Whether you're an Apple Music subscriber or an Apple News subscriber, as I happen to be, there's actually quite a lot of audio in the Apple News app. But it's the Apple News Daily, hosted by Shimita Basu. I'm not going to play a sound clip from this because it's just 15 minutes of kind of giving you a quick rundown of the day's news. You know, it drops usually about 6 a.m., 7 a.m. And, you know, it's one of those things I listen to while I'm in the shower and shaving. And, you know, it just starts off with a quick rundown of the news. And then it kind of, you know, gives you some of the highlights, but then it also kind of gives you, you know, at least one thing that they kind of talk about. And it pulls audio from like NPR and from podcasts and from other places. So it's not even just their own audio. It's not just reading the news to you. They are pulling different audio from different places, different sources. And I find, as somebody who is famously not on social media, I feel that I'm pretty well engaged when I get that 15 minute download. And there's lots of variations of these kind of news apps or news podcasts, but the Apple News Daily is my number two choice. And it's definitely one that I listen to daily.
So do you have to be a news subscriber or?
Yeah.
Is that it's an Apple News or maybe Apple Music, but I believe Apple News because they also have like a couple of other things. They have Apple News in Conversation where they might expand on a topic. It's the same host, Shimita Basu, who kind of voice just sounds like a little bit like a Sandra Bullock reading the news to you. and they'll also do like Apple News Narrated, where there may be an article that published in the New Yorker or the Atlantic and someone reads it. That I find less interesting because it's a monotone voice.
They're literally reading. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they're literally reading, and you don't have that variance in the audio. That is something I think what helps to keep things engaged is having different sounds every 15 seconds or so for the listener.
Yeah, sure. I'll have to see because I mean I use the news app all the time, but I'll have to see if I can actually
listen. Yeah, it's part of the News Plus section, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. All right, so that was your number two and our number twos. Moving on to number one. My number one is Hard Fork from the New York Times.
Let me ask you this. Settle a bet. What do you think is a better name for a golden retriever? Bubbles or Potato?
Male or female?
Female.
Bubbles.
That's what I said. So my brother and his family were getting a new dog, and they sent me pictures of this golden retriever, and my nephew said, we're thinking Bubbles or Potato. And I said, well, I think it has to be Bubbles, because dogs want a nickname.
Yes.
And if it's Bubbles, then it's Bubs, it's Bubba.
Sir Bubs-a-Lot.
Sir Bubs-a-Lot. Yes. You can imagine.
We can go on, yes.
If it's Potato, it's what, Tate?
Tater?
Tato? Tater?
Popo?
Popo? I wouldn't call it that.
That one's taken. Yeah.
I lost, and so now the dog is named Potato.
No, yeah. Come on. Mm-hmm. We got to change this. It's not too late.
it might be too late.
Well, the dog doesn't care.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Potato is just a puppy, so my dad saw a picture and he said, it's really more like a French fry at this point. And I thought that was cute.
That is such a good dad joke.
Right?
I'm Kevin Roos, a tech columnist at the New York Times.
I'm Casey Noon from Platformer.
And this is Hard Fork.
This week, an eye-popping deal between OpenAI and NVIDIA has us asking, is this AI boom turning into a bubble? Then, the chaos over visas. Immigration expert Jeremy Neufeld joins us to explain how Trump's new $100,000 visa fee could hurt the economy. And finally, the rapture that wasn't. I explained to Kevin how TikTok went wild for the end of days. Heaven help us.
Features Kevin Roos and Casey Newton as the co-hosts. It's a tech-forward podcast that just is always talking about the future, talking about AI and technology and where things are headed, the problems that it's causing, the people that are causing these problems, and just opinion, but just also like how we can all be thinking about this in a safe and, you know, but also forward thinking way. One of them is dating someone who works for a popular AI company, and the other one works for the New York Times. And so like they obviously have their, you know, their rooting interests and their expertise, but they're also really funny guys. And so the episode always starts off with just like a funny story, a funny hook that, you know, where maybe it touches on how they're dealing with technology or a new technology in their everyday life, and just kind of goes from there. And it's always pretty structured. They always, you know, have sections where they talk about individual things. They'll have famous CEOs come on. They famously had Sam Altman from OpenAI on, talking about obviously AI and where that's going and where his opinion is on some of those things. And so because they're connected to the New York Times, they can get some pretty big polls. But yeah, this is, I believe it is twice a week as well. I don't know exactly what days it comes out on, but this is the one that I listen to every episode on, just because it's funny, informative, and I like the guys. I like what they're talking about. And yeah, it's good. It's my number one. I don't know why, but it's my number one. It's the one I listen to the most. It just, you know, everybody's got their things they're gravitated towards. And this is it. This is my number one.
Nice. Okay.
Caleb.
I'm just going to say real quickly before we get into this. Casey Newton is renting from the host of my number one podcast.
Ah, that's funny. Casey's funny.
All right. So my number one, for those diehard High Five fans who have been here since episode one, will not be surprised, because my number one podcast is the same that it's been since we did this on our first episode, and it is The Office Ladies.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
So I am still in Chicago. I'm still doing my play, and I'm going to be here a little bit longer because we just found out that my play, Ashland Avenue, has been extended again to October 19th. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, please come see it. Oh, it's crazy. I've had the best time.
It has been such a joy to watch you on this journey, lady.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. Every night I go out there, and you know, sometimes we have two shows a day. I just can't wait to do these scenes. I just love them. It's like I look forward to each scene for a different reason. There's like some moment that one of the other actors, I can't wait to watch them do it.
Isn't that so fun to just get to watch and marvel at your co-stars like moment?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The actor who plays my dad, Fran Guinan, I am constantly marveling at him. I just, you know, the other woman in the play with me, her name is Cordelia Dudney, and she is so good. And we only get one scene together. It's only like 3 pages. It's short, but it's so good. I look forward to it every night. I can't wait. As soon as she walks in the door, I'm like, yes, here we go.
Here we go.
Yes.
Again, I love The Office, the TV show. It's Angela Kinsey, hosts with Jenna Fisher. So Pam and Angela from The Office. It's weekly. They started out going through, they did what they called a rewatch podcast. So they were in my opinion, the first rewatch podcast. Now it seems like every show has a rewatch podcast, but so they went through the entire series of The Office and talked about, you know, behind the scenes stuff, you know, deleted scenes, you know, characters that co-star, you know, anything and everything that related to the episode, and really went into it and broke down each episode, talked about the scenes and, you know, kind of
it's the director's commentary and DVD that we used to have, right?
You know,
we don't have that anymore. We don't have that.
Yeah,
we don't have that medium. So this kind of switched it. You know, that's actually a genre of podcasting that I haven't quite gotten into, which is interesting because I love, you know, movies and TV and behind the scenes stories and what have you. The rewatch is not a subgenre of podcasting that I've gotten into, but
so they've actually stopped now. So they've made it through every episode of The Office. So now they call it The Office Ladies 6.0. So now it is like they do even more like kind of in-depth on each character, and they, you know, so it's not episode specific from The Office. It's more character specific, interviewing more people, longer interviews. They are also doing a little bit of The Paper. So they did a Paper rewatch since that's a spinoff of The Office. I really like it. It's a great podcast. You know, obviously it's something Tori and I both listen to. So it's something we can talk about, which is kind of nice. You know, I'm usually ahead of her just because I spend more time in the car. And, you know, we love The Office. I mean, we've watched The Office more times than I care to count. So it's just, it's just one of my favorites. It's about a topic I care about. It's cool to see, you know, the friendship that Angela and Jenna have. I've really enjoyed it. It's definitely my favorite. So, and it's the only podcast that I, outside of Good Hang, but Good Hang only has like 20 episodes that I've watched, that I've listened to every episode.
Yeah. What is the significance of The Office Ladies 6.0?
So it's just because they've already done the rewatch of it. So they just kind of changed it. 6.0 comes from The Office. There is a scene where Amy Adams is there, where she's the purse lady. I don't know if you know that episode. I don't know, season one or two. I can't remember. But anyways, Michael calls her Pam 6.0. So they just took the 6.0 and called it Office 6. So it's not a rewatch.
I would have always said it was just Pam 2.0, but okay.
No, it's 6.0. Yep.
I was afraid you were going to say they did like dramatic readings of like fan fiction online.
That's cool. All right. Rob, what's your number one, and who is Casey Newton ranting from?
So my number one is a podcast that comes out twice weekly, and I've listened to this for the last 5 years. It is Pivot. Pivot podcast starring or hosted by Kara Swisher, who is Casey Newton's landlord in San Francisco, and Scott Galloway. Kara Swisher, Scott Galloway, they talk about all things tech and business. And of course, in the last 5 years, you can't really talk about tech or business without kind of touching into politics. So as you'll hear from this audio clip, this is pretty much all Scott talking about the tariffs and agriculture.
Eventually, they're going to go away. The money props up inefficiency instead of investing in infrastructure. What they need to be doing is crop diversification. And it's just pure political theater. Its bailouts are less about economic policy, and they're doing what Democrats do, and that is they're throwing money at people for votes. And we've lit the house on fire and then sent taxpayers the bill for the fire department. These circular payments, they don't build competitiveness, they build dependency.
And they're doing it just because they're MAGA. That's why, or they were Trump supporters, and they're not helping others who were not. It's the same thing that's going to happen if this government shuts down.
And so while we cut a check on young people's backs in terms of debt, Brazil builds railroads and steals China as a customer. It's just, this couldn't be more stupid. Anyway, all right, so that's my fail. My win is what we talked about before.
As you heard, Scott is, I would say, you know, center right, and Kara is probably center left in terms of their political view. Kara is much better about talking about other things beyond tech and business, like pop culture and what have you. And Scott really kind of talks about like raising families and masculinity and being a, you know, father of boys. But Scott's background is he was a financial analyst and he teaches marketing at NYU Stearns. Kara has been a longtime tech journalist. She's like, you know, has pissed off Elon Musk long before everybody else. So it's talking about business like you're at a bar. Unlike public radio's marketplace, you'll hear a lot of F-bombs. And Scott does love to start the show with a lot of crude jokes, yes. But I'm kind of here for them.
Yeah. Yeah, because of you, Rob, this is one that I will check in on depending on the topic if I'm interested in hearing what, because obviously they have their own specific view or they have a tendency to go certain ways. And so, you know, when certain topics come up in the news, like when there are certain big AI things to talk about or certain big technology things to talk about, I'll come and check them out. It's definitely a great podcast. Love that one too.
Yeah, so are the episodes driven by like what's going on in the news, or is it more to like, this is a topic you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's more a quick rundown of the news twice a week.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Fridays. Yeah. They record on Mondays and Thursdays.
So they'll always talk about something.
And they talk about something pretty in depth, and sometimes they'll bring on someone to interview, but not always. I mean, the two of them have enough knowledge that really can fill an hour talking between them. And what's great is that they will actually argue and debate with one another. This past week, they were talking about all the comedians who went to Saudi Arabia, like Dave Chappelle. And, you know, Kara was like, I'm so sick of, you know, Dave Chappelle kept saying, I can't say anything. I'm being censored. I can't say anything. And she's like, you took a check and you've agreed to be censored by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. She's like, I don't want to hear it that you guys are whining about that PC is silencing you and affecting you. You know, and Scott was kind of pushing back and was like, you know, people can take the paycheck. And he eventually kind of changed his opinion because they really started arguing it out. And so I think that's what's really great is that there are times where they will kind of build on each other, but then there are times where they disagree. You hear it all and they'll either agree to disagree or somebody maybe changes their mind because they keep talking through it. So it's the Pivot Podcast is one that I definitely listen to and do not miss.
Nice. Cool.
All right. So that was all our top fives. Let's do some honorable mentions. This one was kind of funny because all of my honorable mentions are basically another version of my top five. So one of them is my tech podcast. It's The Vergecast, hosted by either Nilay Patel or David Pierce or other Verge staff members. It's just another company, The Verge. Vergecast is their podcast. So they're always talking about the new technology coming out, the new devices, the new iPhones, the new AI model that people are using and doing stuff with. So that one's great. Offhand Disney is another YouTube channel that I get my Disney knowledge from. This is actually one I'm a Patreon supporter of. I think I support it for like $2 a month or something like that. But the guy who actually did this one, I actually saw at a Disney event that we went to, and I got to talk to him for a little bit, and I definitely got nervous and nerded out a little bit.
You fangirled about
it. I totally fangirled. It was funny. But anyway, another one of my honorable mentions is the Ezra Klein Show. New York Times podcast used to be, he was the co-founder of Vox Media, but then went to become a New York Times columnist. He's always just so well thought out. I've read a couple of his books, he's just, I feel like out of all the people out there that have opinions, I understand him. I feel like maybe I'm closest to him ideologically. Is that the word?
Yep. Nailed it.
So yeah, that's a good one.
That's a Meta fan.
That's right. Ezra Klein Show is a good one that I'll check in with depending on what we're talking about in the news. I don't listen to it a lot right now because it's so easy to get stuck in the weeds about things with politics right now. So I'll check in with this, maybe a couple times a month. Another one of mine is the Robcast. So this was the only one that was on my original list from episode one. Rob Bell is somebody I've talked about as a teacher. When we were talking about teachers on our teacher episode, he is kind of that spiritual person that is always, I'll always go check in with. And, if I need a pick me up or a different way to think about things or something like that, I'll go check out Rob. And then the last one is another Apple Music podcast. And that's the Elton John's Rocket Hour. Elton John's awesome because he's always listening to new music. And I love old music. I love all my favorites, but if I want to hear what's new and what Elton John's listening to, he's always on the cutting edge of music. He famously will get all of the top albums on vinyl the day they come out, and that's how he listens to a lot of his music.
He'll do a blend. He'll do a blend of it's not all new music, right? Like, so he'll pull out the things that are like, there'll be obscure favorites of his, or there'll be like absolute classics. And then, he has the new ones. He's actually proved to be an excellent radio DJ. And it's kind of funny because when you think about radio, with like iHeartRadio and Sirius and all of those things, that you don't really have that disc jockey, talking kind of through music anymore. And so Elton John has kind of filled that void in what is kind of my listening experience. And that's definitely like one for a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning when I'm cleaning the house.
This is one of the only podcasts I'll put on in the house and just play it because I know that Katie and Vivian will like the music that's on. It's always pretty pop music, pretty upbeat. And so you can do house work to it and all that kind of stuff. So Elton John's great. Yep. So
what about you? Is it under the radio section for the okay
and you could probably also find it in the podcast app. Rob says yes. Caleb, what are your honorable mentions?
I didn't have any listed.
Okay. Rob, what do you got?
I don't have any listed either. Part of this was I kind of had these five that were pretty solid. I'm always listening to different things, but these are like, if you were to say like, what are some of my top five ones? I mean, there have been some ones that I can say like, 10, 15 years ago when podcasting first took off that I would listen to quite a bit. You mentioned Rob Bell, and I would listen to Krista Tippett's On Being, which is, radio show. It started as Speaking of Faith, and then it became On Being. And that gets really into philosophy and just really what is it? Pondering what does it mean to exist. Back in the day when Cheryl Strayed kind of came out as Dear Sugar, she revealed that she had been online as a vice columnist. So she and Steve Allman had the Dear Sugar radio where they would give advice columns. I actually loved listening to that. In terms of Apple Music, another one that I love to listen to is Soulection. Joe K has really good, it's kind of like house trance ambient. Yeah. It's kind of like what you would listen to like if you were in a hotel lobby in New York or LA. And I'm not going to lie, I like that kind of genre of music. Those are just some of the ones off the top of my head. The other one that I really, really used to love and listen to quite a bit Anna Sales would host Death, Sex, and Money.
Oh, yeah. I like them.
Yeah, the things that you think about a lot and don't talk about enough. She usually does a pretty good interview through all of those. And then one that was a show on public radio for a number of years, just ended right before the pandemic, hosted by Kurt Anderson, who is a longtime writer and former editor of Spy Magazine. He used to host a show called Studio 360, which was really great for digging deep into culture, whether it's books or movies. They used to have a sub-series called American Icons. And Jay, I think I sent you one time about Disneyland, where it's a full hour just talking about Disneyland, or a full hour talking about Superman, or a full hour talking about Twin Peaks.
Love it.
But then, they would do things on a variety of subjects, kind of grouped by theme, just getting into culture. And so that was one that I used to love listening to that no longer produced. But Death, Sex, and Money, Studio 360, On Being, Soul Action. I mean, those were all some of, I guess, my honorable mentions, just literally off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, another one off the top of my head was the podcast 99% Invisible. You guys ever listen to that one? That one's just digging deep into architecture, or, you know, just how something is done on a macro level, whether it's municipality, just things that you wouldn't think would be interesting, but obviously if they're going to record a podcast about it, they found something interesting about it. So that's one I used to listen to all the time. But yeah, cool. Nice. All right, well, that was a good one, guys.
Lots of new things to try.
I got, I'm definitely going to listen to a few of those. So this was my topic. And since it was supposed to be your topic, Rob, you, I think, get to do the next one then, if that's
cool. Yeah, I think I kind of want to know what you guys are looking forward to for this Halloween, specifically for 2025. If there's any new albums like Florence and the Machine's Everybody Scream, or if there's any new movies like Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, or if there's just things that you kind of are, what are your top five things that you kind of break out as a, you know, your Halloween tradition. But I'm just going to be kind of curious to hear what people are looking forward to this Halloween.
Yeah.
Spooky like season.
That. Yeah. There are definitely specific albums. There are definitely specific movies that will break out. So I think some of those might be in my list. Anything off the top of your head, Caleb, you can think of? Decorations.
Well, we always host three families to our house for trick or treating, so I don't know if that counts as that, if that's what you're thinking. But
I guess you're looking forward to it.
I mean, I kind of put together a tentative list. Then my number five was leaves.
Jumping in them,
like the sound of rustling as you walk through. But it kind of like, you know, well, it kind of, you know, I kind of took that off my list. But I'm like, That's an answer coming from someone who doesn't have to rake them or bag them.
That is true. That is one nice thing about having a small yard. I wish I had a bigger yard, but raking leaves is so much easier with a small yard. But cool.
Yep.
Well, guys, I guess we could leave it there. It was a good episode, and looking forward to the Halloween season coming up. And if you guys don't have anything else to put into the conversation, we'll end it there and call it a week.
Well, sounds happy anniversary. 50 episodes, golden anniversary, right?
There you go. Now it's all downhill from here, right?
Yeah, that's right. Things are going to start falling apart on us.
Gravity's taking its...
Come on, Rachel Dratch.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.